All right, and the children are going to Children's Night Church as we speak, third grade and under. So you're here. We've been doing a study. If you're here with us, we are now on the third study, and I felt led of the Lord to preach on this. It's a challenge to me to preach on it because it is not a popular doctrine. It is not popular today, but it is very needed today. And I'm doing a series on what is called careful separation. Careful separation. And the first message, I think I gave it another name, but looking back, I would give the first message the foundation of your separation. And we found that in Genesis 1, verses 2 through 5. And there we find out that right away God is a separatist. God separated the light from the darkness. And the darkness he called night. And the light he called day, all right? But he separated those two. And the Bible speaks about sons of light and sons of day. And so you're either one or the other. And God wants that distinguished. He wants a big distinction there. And we ask in that message, the foundations of separation, what darkness refers to in the Bible. And we said, darkness is a place where you go eternally to be punished. It's called in Matthew 22:13, outer darkness. There'll be weeping there and gnashing of teeth. I am so glad if I'm saved, I'm not going there. Thank God for that. But outer darkness, oh, horrible, horrible place to be. Weeping and gnashing of teeth in the darkness. And people that have lived in darkness die in darkness. Secondly, darkness is a lack of knowledge of spiritual truth. We looked in John 1:10 and 1 Corinthians 2 and other places to find out a person that doesn't have spiritual understanding given from God is in darkness spiritually, and that is a terrible place to be. I lived there for just about 17 years of my life, but thank God I've been in the light. And then thirdly, we found out darkness also refers to God's secret counsel. Those without that God-given revelation of his will, according to Matthew 10:27, are in darkness. And God has to reveal himself and his word to us, and then we're in the light. But without that counsel, we're in darkness. So that refers to God's secret counsel. In the sense of this, when God gives counsel to you or to me, it's a secret to us. The world doesn't know what God is showing us. In other words, the Bible says the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. That means if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then you know and understand God's secrets. But the world is in darkness as to what you're knowing and under. They have no knowledge of it. They're not privy to it. And so darkness refers to God's secret counsel to his people that the world doesn't get. And then darkness, we saw in that first message on foundations, is in the Bible refers to wickedness in the world. 2 Corinthians 6:14 talks about wicked people and their wicked lifestyles. And God's people have nothing to do with that, need to have nothing to do with the wicked lifestyles of the sons of darkness. And so we talked about the what does darkness refer to in that message. We talked, secondly, about who always wants the light separated from the darkness. And we know who that is. That's God. He always wants the light separated from the darkness. And then thirdly, we talked about what are some helpful reasons God wants you, his people, to separate from darkness. And we saw reason number one, God wants you for himself. He doesn't want you to be shared with the world and with darkness. He wants you for himself. God says that you're to give up your right to walk in enjoyable fellowship with him. If you walk in darkness, you're not going to enjoy him, and you're not going to really glorify him as you ought. God wants you to know that when you step in the darkness, you hinder unsaved people from coming to Christ and getting saved. Even if we're soul winning and you're walking in darkness, you're a member of this church, you're hindering people from getting saved that would get saved. And then lastly, when light hooks up with darkness, the testimony of light is always hurt by hooking up with darkness. And so those are some practical reasons not to get involved. And then that was foundations. Then the second message was the how and why of your separation. I gave it another title, but I always go back over these. And the how and why of your separation. We had 2 points. First of all, God tells you how you are to be separated from others. And one of the men tell me, we already said what cannot separate you from others. We went over that. We also said the key to separation that separates you from others. And what is that, Brother Jose?
Being born again.
He's right as rain. Being born again through the gospel. We're separated through the gospel. You can be raised in a Baptist church, you can go to a Christian school, all that's not going to separate you. You have to be saved and separated by Jesus Christ and responding to the gospel in faith. And then you're joined to Christ, you're dead with him, you're buried with him, you're raised with him to a new position, a new life. And listen, that will manifest itself. If that doesn't manifest itself in your life, that radical difference of separation, then you're not the Lord's. You say, where do you get that? Read Romans 6, friend. Read it. And that's what the grace of God does. It separates you. There's a radical separation. And a lot of people think they're going to get glory in heaven. They don't have that separation. No, you're not. So we're saying, secondly, God tells you why and how and why you are separated. First of all, that's how, Romans 1. And then secondly, God tells you why you're separated. Well, there's a lot of reasons why that is. Number one, the great price God was willing to pay for you. The price was what? The blood of Jesus Christ. So tonight, you're not your own. You say, I just want to do my own thing. I want to do it my way. No, you do it God's way. Amen. Why? Because he owns you. By creation, he made you. So he knows what he wants for you, right? And then secondly, he redeemed you. He bought you back from the world and Satan and the darkness. And so it's not, I'll dress the way I want to dress. I'll talk the way I want to talk. I'll act the way I want to act. No, it's the price. And secondly, we said why you are separated, because of the plan for you to be his special possession. God purchased you so that you would not be your own, but you would be his. And he does not want to share you, just like a husband should never want to share his wife with somebody else. He should be jealous of her. God is jealous. And if you are really his, you will experience his chastisement if you are not separated to God. And so because of the price he was willing to pay, because of the plan for you to be his special possession, and thirdly, because of the praise he receives for his great grace toward you. You see, you're separated unto him because he wants you to live for his glory, to praise him. Why? Because he chose you. He loved you with an everlasting love. He brought you out of darkness into light. You can't really take any credit for your salvation. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any. He doesn't say you're saved because you were smart enough to have faith. It doesn't say, for by faith are you saved. No, it's by grace you're saved. That's God's undeserved favor all the way through. And you're saved through faith, but not by or the source of faith. So it's grace. And the Bible says that God loves to lavish you with good things because you just keep glorifying him. And you say, God, I don't deserve this. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why I have this. I can't understand it. That should be the mentality. But if you have the mentality, you know, I'm God's gift to the world, you know, I deserve it. No, that's not why you're separated for God. Now tonight, I want to talk to you about the priority of your separation. We looked at the foundations of it, the how and why of it, now the priority of it in your life, how important it is. And that's why it's important for me to preach on it. And I want to say that this priority is shown by God's priority command that he gave to Joshua before he could cross the Jordan River miraculously and go into the promised land. And here's what God said to Joshua. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. God had told Joshua, now I'm going to take the people across the Jordan River. I'm going to take them into the promised land, and they're going to kill the giants, and they're going to possess the land. But don't expect me to do any of that unless they're willing to sanctify themselves. That means separate themselves. And Joshua and Israel needed God to show his mighty power, as I said, to go across the river, to kill the giants, to take over the cities and fell the walls of Jericho. But you have enemies that you face. They're greater and more powerful than yourself. You have challenges that you're called to do. You cannot do it without God's supernatural help. I cannot do it without God's supernatural help. But guess what? God will not join himself to help us if we're not, first of all, separated for him. You need to separate yourself from anything or anyone that is going to hinder God from helping you and empowering you. Now, that may be a friend that you've got that wants to hang around with you this summer. You break fellowship with that friend. You just be busy and say, I'm doing this and doing that. I'm too busy. You know what? You're too busy doing God's will to hang around with that friend. Because if you don't do that, God won't show up in your life. And then you'll backslide. And you'll wind up going back where you were before. I've seen kids come out of public school and go back into public school. I've seen kids come out of the world and go back into the world. And little by little, you'll wind up going back because you need God's grace. You need God's power. You need God to help. And that's why you should be here tonight, right? We're praying because we need God. We're hearing the word of God because we need God. And so he says, Joshua said, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow I will do wonders among you. Now, that will come if you are involved in the priority of separation. The devil will try to keep you from that. Now, the devil has tried to trick pastors and churches and believers from being separated. And you say, how did Satan do it? Well, I just look back in the last couple hundred years, actually 125 years or so, and the first thing that I see for that amount of time is the devil started seeing fundamentalist believers that were preaching the truth of God, and he didn't like it. So he raised up these fake preachers who are liberals. And what did they do? Well, they denied that Christ was the virgin-born Son of God. They denied that the Scripture, the Bible, is inspired by God. They denied the deity of Jesus Christ, that he was just a man, a teacher. They denied when he died on the cross that they may said, oh, that was a good example of a humble man giving his life. But they denied that he purchased our salvation when he died on that cross. That's called the vicarious atonement. They denied the literal resurrection that Christ rose from the dead, you know, and conquered death. They denied that. They denied that he is literally, bodily, physically coming again. And you know what? God raised up men, and they wrote a pamphlet called The Fundamentalist or The Fundamentals. And these men said, every one of those things that I just said the liberals stand for, we we're against the liberals. We believe in the virgin birth. We believe in all of these things, the deity of Christ and the bodily resurrection. We believe in these things, and they stood for those things, and they preached those things. So the devil thought, well, I'm losing a lot of people through these fundamentalists. That this was in the early part of the 20th century. He said, I'm going to raise up something called neo-orthodoxy. And he raised up a German by the name of Karl Marx, a smart guy. And Karl Marx realized that people needed faith. You know, they need faith. And you hear people today, they say, we need faith. And Marx said, I'm a liberal. But I'm going to wear the rouge of a fundamentalist. I'm going to put on the lipstick of a fundamentalist. I'm going to put on the earrings of a fundamentalist and try to woo the fundamentalist away. And I'll do that, Marx said, and I'll call it neo-orthodoxy or new orthodoxy. Watch out for that. And so what he came up with, Karl Barth, he said that what we're going to say is that if we were literally in the Garden of Eden, there wasn't a literal tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but that was symbolic of good and evil. And if we were there on the day Christ died on the cross was not a literal cross, but that's symbolic of our faith. And so forth and so on. He didn't raise from the dead. And he came up with two different histories. One was called Historia and the other Geschichte. And Geschichte, you know, he was German. Geschichte stood for those symbolic things that weren't really part of literal history. And I remember I went to a college called Calvin College that used to believe in Orthodox Christianity, but they had been overtaken by neo-orthodoxy. And the professors there were influenced by the University of Amsterdam in Holland, which had been overtaken by this. And I had to fight this. I remember just a young freshman coming to college and just getting saved a couple years before, and I'm debating this girl from Canada in my class. She had flaming red hair, and she was into neo-orthodoxy, and old Professor Clarence Voss, he liked what she was saying, but I said what I had to say. I think sometimes I got marked down for the things I believe, you know. I had a girl one time from that college, she said, man, you remind me of my father. You're a fundamentalist, you know. And she didn't like that. You know, they were above that. But I'll tell you what, I was a blooming fundamentalist, amen. And now I blossomed and bore fruit, and I've just been getting more fundamental all the time. I was about 19 then. I'm about 75 now or thereabouts. But I just get more fundamental all the time. And I want that. Make me worse, you know. But I'm just saying, that was the devil. He got in Karl Barth, and he tried to lure fundamentalists away with that masquerading. And when that didn't work, Satan tried something else. And he came up with something in the 1940s, 50s, 60s, called neo-evangelicalism. How many have heard of that? Yeah. And that became something, and he was trying to get people back to the liberalism. So what a neo-evangelical said was, you can be in a liberal denomination and still stand for the fundamentals. By the way, that's what the Southern Baptists do. How many of you like Jeffers down there, First Baptist Church? Jeffers, you like him. But he's a neo-evangelical. You know that, right? That's probably why he doesn't use an old King James Bible. Now, I like Jeffers and what he says and how he says it. But you need to understand that a neo-evangelical is something that Satan wants to use because the neo-evangelicals, their idea was we're going to believe the fundamentals of the faith and preach the fundamentals of the faith, but we are not going to separate from the liberal colleges that are Christian colleges, the liberal denominations. We'll stay within there, and maybe we can win them over, but it never happens that way. That is Satan's method to take over over. And the neo-evangelicals said, you should reject liberalism and reject neo-orthodoxy, by the way, and believe the fundamentals, but seek to gain acceptance of the liberals in doing that. And so the neo-evangelicals said, go to the colleges that were accredited by the people that stole the accreditation system. And why do you go to the colleges that are accredited? Well, because you have to prove to the liberals that you have intellectual power. Let me say something. You don't have to prove anything of the kind to the liberals. Since when did Moses go to Pharaoh to get accredited for what he was doing? You don't have to do that, my friend. God will authenticate you, and God will give you that. And I think about colleges you know, like Baptist Bible College. Baptist, you went there, Karen. Baptist Bible College, I went there. I have to admit it. At Baptist Bible College, but first of all, I said, where's the Baptist? And then where's the Bible? You know, they got. And now I say, where's the college? It's gone. That's sad. And you say, well, what happened? Well, Baptist Bible College started as a ministry school to train preachers, basically, and full-time Christian workers. But then what happened was they wanted more money, and they were losing money. And so we got to get more money so we can keep our work going. So we're going to go to be a Christian liberal arts college. Well, they were never started to be a Christian liberal arts college. And they had to use Keystone to take their liberal arts. And so they were working with Keystone. And it didn't work, my friend. And now Baptist Bible is buried. It is no more. I liked Bob Jones and Pensacola Christian College were Christian liberal arts colleges. And they had a fight over the King James Bible and certainly over the majority text. And Pensacola went for the King James Bible manuscripts and Bob Jones went the other way. And so they split. Now, Pensacola never sought accreditation. Now, you say, how did they do that? They trained lawyers and doctors. Well, they had a lot of graduate schools and so forth that said doctor school, that these people are getting a quality education here. And they didn't seek accreditation. Now, I heard that they may have gotten that now. And I think that's a sad day. We don't need that. But that is what a neo-evangelical wants to do. They want that accreditation because, you see, we don't want to look like a backwoods fundamentalist. Some of these old fundamentalists, they didn't have that great education. And we want to impress the world with our knowledge. And so we want to get the other side of it. And the neo-evangelicals made fun over preaching that would be too cutting down, like when preachers get up, you know, and they cut down things that are wrong. The new evangelical said, we don't want to do that. We want to be more suave, and we're going to be nice and polite and kind. Nothing wrong with being nice and polite, but they went overboard and they compromised. I would rather, if I had a choice, I would rather do right wrongly than do wrong rightly and be this sweet little lace on the underwear neo-evangelical preacher. I don't want to be a neo-evangelical preacher. You say, why not? I've been there. I've done that. I bought that t-shirt. I was there till 1985. And when I got out of that, I saw the new evangelicalism moved out of me and I out of it, and the blessing of God came in. I'd rather have the blessing of God. And so I'm not going to go back on that. And so I'm just saying Satan saw that. Now, when Satan saw that, hey, there are preachers and churches, they are seeing through neo-evangelicalism. Then he saw that I've got to come up with another trick. And he said, how can I get fundamental believers? And here's the thing, always not to separate from the liberals. The fundamentalists get together with the liberals. Remember, Satan is a mixer of darkness and light. So he can conquer, but God is a separator. And so Satan came up with something back, and I remember it very well. I remember Dr. Jerry Falwell when he had the Old Time Gospel Hour, and he built the great Thomas Road Baptist Church down there in Lynchburg, Virginia. How many heard about that back in the day? All right, and I remember Jerry Falwell. When Jack Hiles started a pastor school, he went there to the pastor school. He'd have his razor there. He'd have his shaving kit there because it was very rustic, and you stayed overnight there. And the early guys came in, and he learned how to go soul winning. He learned how to build a Sunday school. In fact, he had Jack Hiles come to his Sunday school and set up his whole Sunday school for him. He learned how to be a separatist, fundamentalist from a man of God that was doing it and had the world's fastest growing Sunday school and doing it. And Jerry Falwell was into that. And so he was being blessed of Almighty God in building that church. But once the church got very big and he established a college, he started saying, well, I want to be the Notre Dame of Independent Fundamental Baptists. And my college, Liberty University, I'm going to call it that, I want that to be the... And so right away he started getting accreditation from the world's college accrediting agency. And in doing that, he started compromising certain things like chapel and who he would have to speak at chapel. And he would get people in like Ted Kennedy to preach in chapel and so forth. But the thing I think that was used to get fundamental men to not separate from the unsaved world was that Jerry Falwell wanted to save America. And he said, I want to save America. Now, do fundamentalists want to save America? Absolutely. God Save America rallies, a lot of fundamentalists have them. But Jerry Falwell, he wanted to save America. So he said, hey, we've got to outnumber the liberals. And we do outnumber them in America. He said, there's really not that many now I'm talking about political liberals. There are really not that many political liberals at that time, he said. And so we need to get, listen, a moral majority. We need to get the moral Mormons and the moral Catholics and the moral Protestants and the moral Baptists and all these moral people and get them working together in something called the moral majority. And so he changed his emphasis from getting people saved to getting America saved by a moral majority political action group. And they got votes that way. Now, I'm not saying votes are not important. We've talked about votes and we've educated about votes. But when you leave separation and the priority of an independent fundamental church and you start joining with something bigger in order to and give your time to that, then you're being pulled away. And it would be like if in World War II we were fighting the Nazis. What a horrible regime that was with Hitler and the Nazis. And we found out that, hey, we've got a mosquito problem in America and they're attacking us and they're giving us fever and sickness and we're fighting this war with the Nazis. And then we find out Hitler has eradicated mosquitoes over there in Germany. And the Nazis have a way to do it. And so we join with the Nazis to fight mosquitoes. And you know what? That is going to take you right down because you're going to intermarry with them. You're going to get friendship with them. And friendship with the world is enmity with God. And you're going to get their money. And you're going to find out as you take their money, you're going to have to tiptoe through the money givers. And I've never tried to tiptoe through money givers. I've had people that have tried to buy me. But I say, I'm not for sale. I'm not your prostitute, Satan, and the world. And so I'm just saying the moral majority, that was another way to pull people away. And we get so enamored with a good cause like saving America that we get too closely associated with the world's crowd to do it, and that's a trick of the devil. Now, how did we get Trump elected? I believe it was through prayer and fasting. I believe we did get votes, but it wasn't through leaving the local church priority. I had people wanting me to leave and do this and do that. I said, no, I'm church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday. I am separated unto God and unto the gospel. And so we got votes that way. I asked the deacon to help us, and we found out a lot of people in this church were not educated about how to vote biblically. So we did that. Nothing wrong with that. It's just this trick of Satan to get you not to be separated from the world in order to do a good thing. But he knows the priority, listen to me, of separation. So I'm talking tonight about the priority of your separation. And I'm saying, number one, that Satan has a history of trying to trick you and believers and preachers away from it. And number two, God has a priority for you for it. And that's my second and last point. He wants you to save America his way. Now, what was God's way to save Sodom? Well, Abraham prayed and he got down to 10 people. If there were 10 saved and separated people in the city of Sodom, God said, I will spare it. And you know what? I believe God spares America as long as he has enough saved and separated people in America. But Satan wants to mix light and darkness and ruin our testimony and our separation. And so that way Satan can bring America down and destroy America. And so I thank God for those that were separated, that prayed and fasted. And I believe that's why God has spared America. For those kind of people. I know political pundits, they give all kind of other reasons, but they are in darkness. They don't know my God. They don't know how God works. And so he wants to do it God's way. He wants you to see his way to enter into a close relationship with him before he's going to work with you. So after God redeemed Israel out of Egypt, before God actually met with them to establish his covenant and give them his word on how to walk with him, what did he demand first of all? Well, it's in Exodus 19:10. I'll read it. Here's what it says. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. Now God was going to come down on Mount Sinai, and he was going to meet with his people. He was going to give Moses the covenant that he was going to have with Israel. But he said, I won't do that until the people separate themselves. That's what the word sanctify means. And they get clean. They have to wash their clothes, which is a picture of us getting washed from our worldly ways by the word of God. You know what? You need to get your brain washed. You need to get your life washed. And I'm glad you're here tonight because you need the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. You should be here Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday. You should be reading your Bible every day. You should turn off your soap operas, ma'am, and your junk stuff and get into God and get clean, because God says before he'll enter into a close working relationship with you, he wants separation. That's true of a head of a household. It's true of the church. It's very, very important. And so after he redeemed Israel out of Egypt, that's what he did on Mount Sinai. And you know what? After we got separated from the modern Bible in 1985 and separated from the worldly habits that new evangelicals had back in 1985, guess what? God started blessing this church. He started meeting with this church, and we saw his power. We saw lives changed, and I don't want to ever go back there where I need the world's power. I don't want the world's power. I don't want to be the world light, because that's all it is. If you're going to be the world, just go all the way with the world. Just do what the rock people do. Just do it. Don't be some world light person. Either be God heavy or world heavy. Either be hot or cold. Be one or the other. I thank God we made up our decision and we came out. And so God has a priority for you to be sanctified, to be separated. Before the Lord would provide the material blessing of meat for his people, they were hungry. They said, we're sick of eating manna. We want a provision of meat. God said, I'll give you meat. But before I give you meat, here's what he says in Numbers 11:18. God said, and say thou unto the people, speaking of Moses, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well for us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Amen. I said, I want Shady Maple Smorgasbord, and we got it yesterday. Amen. But we went down there to Shady Maple, and I enjoyed it. I had dessert. I think I had every kind of chocolate you can imagine, Brother Joe, for dessert. Chocolate eclairs and chocolate this and chocolate. And my granddaughters were just looking at me like, what are you? The RBCS kids, they had no problem. They understood it. But I'm just saying, God will give us food, amen. And I get food sometime, and I enjoy it. The problem with some people is they just want it every day, all the time. It's on occasion. You celebrate on occasion. But I'm just saying to you, he's saying to the, I'll give you my provisions, but you first of all need to separate yourself from anyone or anything that bothers me. You know what? I'll check in with Miss Alicia. I'll say, how are we doing? She'll say, Pastor, this gift just came in. Or that gift just came in. Or that gift. We just had a gift today came in from another state for the general fund. And then we had a special gift that went toward the bus ministry. I get his provision. But you know what? If I turn back to the world, if I turn back to not being separated, I'll tell you what, all that's going to dry up. I'll be on my own then. I'll have to foot the bill. But right now, we got God's provision. God is helping us, and that's what you should want. And therefore, you need to stay with the priority of being separated from the world and being separated to the Lord and walking close to him. I'm just saying to you tonight, you say, Pastor, God just seems to bless you, you know. He blesses separation. I can tell you that. I've been on both sides of that, and I know what it's like to be a neo-evangelifish, because I was. But I saw how he blessed separation, and I don't want to ever go back there. Now, not only with financial provision, but he will bless you with victory. Remember, we already talked about this verse, the children of Israel needed the victory of the Jordan River being held up so they could go through it at flood stage. They needed to see the walls of Jericho fall down because there were giant walls and there was no way they could get into that city. They needed victories to conquer giants. And God says, okay, now before I give you victory, here's what he says unto Joshua, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Do you know what? Do you have answers to prayer? Have you seen victories? I believe this church has seen victory after victory. We've seen a lot of victories. And I appreciate those victories because I know what it's like to see defeat because of compromise. And we've seen victories from the Lord. And God will do wonders and victorious things. But he says, first sanctify yourself. Separate yourself. Could there be something in your life that you're not separating yourself from it and you're being defeated because of it? Are you being defeated because of it? Lay aside every weight and the sin, which I believe there are people not here tonight, and being defeated because they haven't separated themselves from something or someone that God said, separate yourself. They said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And so I'm just saying, God puts a priority on separation. And after Israel got into the promised land and started winning and winning, they had a defeat. And that defeat was at a place called Ai. You remember that story, many of you. And God said to the leader of Israel, when there was the defeat, up, sanctify the people. And say, sanctify yourself against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thy enemies until ye take away the cursed thing from among you. What is it that you haven't separated yourself? By the way, the tithe is what? The Lord's. And if you hold on to that, you got a cursed thing in your hands, and that will not bless you. It will not benefit you. If there are folks in our midst that are practicing worldly sin that ruins the testimony of Scranton Revival Baptist Church, and our church is unwilling to exercise discipline, then we've got something in our midst that's cursed of God. It's called worldliness. And God says, nope, you need to separate yourself from those things and get blessed. And so they were defeated, and we don't want to be defeated. And so separate. And then Israel had lost the Ark of the Covenant. They wanted to get it back. That's the presence and power of God showing up in their midst. By the way, I want God to show up when we have our services. And the Bible says, at this point, God says to the Levites, he said, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. Now, we're praying for revival. We're seeking revival. We even have revival seekers. But God says, if you're not separated unto me, you can delay revival. You can delay revival by holding on to things that are not of God, that are darkness and not light. And so I think of wicked King Ahaz and then godly King Hezekiah. And here's what God said in the days of Hezekiah after wicked Ahaz had done his terrible deeds. He says, hear me, Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. Hey, if you ever see any statues of Jesus or pictures of Jesus, tell me about it. We'll get it out of this place. You know, I have to ask Luke Zukowski sometimes. He'll tell on it. If he sees it, he'll tell me. But some people don't even know any better. You know, we were watching this play yesterday, and it was all good. All good. Even at the end, they had a cross up there for the ark. It was so cool. It was so good. But then they had to have this long-haired hippie come out. And I said, now, why'd you have to spoil it by bringing a long-haired hippie out? You know, we don't need that. Don't make any graven images of God. God is jealous. Separate yourself from that. In fact, that's one of the reasons you left the church you were in to come here, isn't it? It's because of that. And I'm just saying, you separate yourself. And God said that. So it goes on and on. We're out of time. It goes on and on that God says that we're to separate ourselves. But I'm going to just end with this. The priority of separation in your life. Satan has a history of trying to trick pastors, preachers, and churches away from it. And God has a priority for you. By the way, some of the stuff you live and watch on TV, I do not sit under preachers that use the New King James Bible. I'm sorry. You say, but man, they sound so good. They make it so clear. Yeah, but why don't you separate yourself and spend more time in this book and with your own church and the man of God and going to conferences that have fundamentalists that are separated? That's my commitment. I believe God is blessed. I believe we've got young people like this and others coming up in our school. And I hope you're one of them that will separate yourself from the public school crowd, from the world's crowd that are trying to pull you back and get God's blessing because he wants to bless you. All right, let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed. And we've been talking about the priority of separation in your life. Just 2 points. Satan has a history of trying to trick you away from it. God has a priority for it. I wonder tonight if you say, preacher,